ladies and gentlemen, you must acquit.
When I finally found acting, I found out that acting was sharing your emotions.
He's an award-winning actor, but today he's sharing some very personal experiences.
What do I do when you're sitting on the edge of your bed at 2 a.m. and go, who am I?
He recently co-wrote a book about the struggles of mental health and depression with a best-selling author and radio host.
And if people like us can't tell the truth, not only is it a disservice to everyone else, but it means that we're ashamed of our journey.
Courtney B. Vance, Dr. Robin L. Smith, now on The Pulse. Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. And this one, I'd like to think that all of the shows are special. We're talking to people who are doing things. We're talking to people who are making a difference. You know the theme of the show, use your voice for good. But this one's a little bit different because we do have people who are making a difference. We do have people who are well known. We've got award-winning actor Courtney B. Vance. We've got award-winning and best-selling author Dr. Robin L. Smith. But we're talking about some very important, specific topics today, and that's what makes this one a little bit different. I appreciate both of you coming in.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you, Bill.
Absolutely. I've known Dr. Robin for a minute.
More than a minute.
Friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Friend to your family and to your great father and mother and to you and your brother. So I watched you guys. Now I'm going to age myself, but I remember when I was younger and you were too. And it's good to be here at home in Philadelphia with you.
I appreciate you guys.
I don't remember
you.
You
don't know me?
Right. Little.
That's all right, but now
not
we're
yet.
Establishing
but
a relationship.
You will. You're going to know.
Now we're establishing a relationship, so next time I'm going to go, that's my man.
Right.
We go back. I'm sitting there looking at your name trying to figure out if I would be cooler if I add my middle initial. That gives you credibility.
Well, Courtney B. is very...
That's smooth,
yeah,
right?
It's very smooth.
T. What's your middle name?
It's E, and that doesn't sound
no,
right.
No, leave it alone.
Yeah. You're not going best
Billy.
With it.
Then it's Billy.
Yeah, and who people won't won't fit.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump into, obviously we're talking about The Invisible Ache.
Yes.
And The Invisible Ache, new book, A Journey, talking about Black men, our pain experiences, and a message that needs to be out there. But how did you two come together to decide to do this?
Yes, we share a management team, a manager and publicist, Gilda Squire, who represents Courtney and is his publicist and more. She's my manager. And Courtney, and he'll speak, of course, more specifically, but his father died in 1990 of suicide. And that was, of course, devastating. And he writes and shares very transparently about that loss and journey. But in 2020, his godson, who was only 23 years old, died of suicide. Intact family that had resources of love, resources of support. They were there. They were hands-on, parents. And he went to the hospital twice. He was discharged, sent home twice, simply because he seemed to be okay. And his parents were asking, did they give you medication? What's the plan? Because you're struggling. Mm. And there was no third time. His godson died by suicide. And Courtney said to Gilda Squire, no more. No more Black men in my life. This is his dad and his godson. No more suicide deaths of Black men and boys. But what can I do about it, Gilda? And she said, well, there may be someone. And she reached out to me and scheduled a conversation to see if Courtney and I had, any synergy, if there was anything between us other than being highly skilled people. And our hearts said hello at the very beginning. And the rest really is history with The Invisible Ache, Black men identifying their pain and reclaiming their power.
I feel like, and you tell me, and Black men traditionally, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about, we don't talk about pain in general, but we certainly don't talk about specific pain and how it impacts us. Why? Like, why would you decide, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this all out there.
Well, you know, for a variety of reasons, and we Black men know that it's not encouraged. I mean, in our society in general, there's certain things that we just don't talk about. We don't talk about, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, you know. So, you know, there's certain things that we know we don't touch. And, you know, I got into acting. I didn't know anything about acting. I didn't know anything about what I wanted to do. But when I finally found acting, I found out that acting was sharing your emotions, mm-hmm. exposing your emotions. And so I began to have practice doing that. But in terms of, you know, I'm at home on the stage. Back 30 years ago, I was at home. I realized I'm very at home. I know what to do when I'm on the stage. And my therapist at the time said, but Courtney, you're not on the stage most of the time. So what do you, you know, so we started to talk about, you know, tools, life tools and skills. And, you know, I came out of the house and, you know, our parents, you know, they're no perfect parents and no perfect marriages. So we got, our parents do and did the best that they could based on their time, you know, on this earth. But then it's incumbent upon me to figure out, where do I go from here? How do I, and one of the things my therapist at the time said to me, she said, Courtney, how do you make decisions? I said, well, like everybody else does, like, right? I mean,
right?
I flip a coin. Isn't that what, I mean, and acting, that's what she said, okay, that's, I mean, she's clocking, okay, do we need to do one session a week or two sessions a week based on what he's saying? And she said, Courtney, do you have the patience to let the mud settle in the water and the water become clear? Little Jewish lady, 5 feet from the ground. I didn't, you know, I shook her hand and I knew that's my person. Okay.
After having kissed a few frogs, okay, of therapists.
You know, the journey of that.
Yes.
Is how do you, you know, I didn't know how to do this thing, but once I actually, we found each other, I was talking a mile a minute because I realized at 30, I needed to talk to somebody for a long time. But the journey of finding someone is so challenging at times that I think that's, you know, when you talk about the actual work, I mean, it's whatever we do, we got to work at it. We work at it, so many other things, but work at ourselves. And we were talking to a young man a couple of days ago, and he said, I don't think I'm, what is it, worthy of work?
I don't have the luxury.
I don't have the luxury of working on myself.
Right.
And we were just, you know, basically saying, you don't have the luxury of not working on yourself.
But we don't. And again, I keep going to the we, mm-hmm. in Black men, because it is different, isn't it? Like, there is, I was talking to friends upstairs getting ready for this interview. And I was half joking with them, friends, white friends, but friends. And we were joking about the fact that we don't really do therapy. Like, we go to church, you know, we'll talk to friends. You know, it's not something that you're comfortable acknowledging that we need or should have.
Yeah.
Is that the norm? Is that the challenge?
Not only need or should have, but are worthy of. See, it's, so are you worthy of having a good job? Are you worthy of having respect in your relationship? So when we, and men, and Black men, and all men, really, are conditioned to not know what they need, to not know that there's a whole person in them. So when we hear, you know, never let them see you sweat, and don't cry, you know, that tells me that that person has only been partially educated. They could be Ivy League educated. Courtney's going to Harvard and Yale. But that has nothing. Yeah, so people I know, you're like, whoa.
We were all serious in conversation. You said, I went, oh.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. No. And he will also share that Harvard nor Yale nor life, for the reasons, Bill, that you're saying, prepared him to know that he was a whole human being. So we talk about in The Invisible Ache that we all have holes, H-O-L-E-S, all of us, not just weak people, not sick people, but all people have holes. Longing to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, which is a holy, H-O-L-Y, journey. So if someone doesn't know that they are whole, it is quite possible that they would say, we don't do therapy, because what they're really saying is, we don't do safe, we don't have enough safety where we can reflect about who we are and who we're not. About, we say in the book also, we don't ask black men and boys, do you hurt? We ask, where does it hurt? Mm-hmm. So Bill, I would ask you, and I would go upstairs with you and your friends that you were speaking with, and there'd be a new question, not, you know, do you have any pain? But where is your pain?
And it's you know, I didn't think I needed. It never came up in our household because I was busy achieving.
Right.
I mean, I'm achieving. I did the IV, and then I didn't know what I wanted to do, and then acting, and then I got to the pinnacle of acting, which go to Yale Drama School. And then at Yale Drama School, I end up with August Wilson and Lloyd Richards and James Earl Jones and Mary Alice. And all of a sudden, I'm in the pinnacle of the Tony Pulitzer Prize winning play. And I'm introduced into the theatrical world and the cinematic world. And I'm on so that should be enough to launch me into life, right?
Absolutely.
I'm launched into life now,
you're
right?
Throwing
I'm,
stuff.
I'm yeah. launched
you're
into
B.
life.
Vance. Like you're yeah. achieving.
Right.
You're good.
Right. And then life happens. Mm-hmm. So that's my what I'm bringing mm-hmm. to the world is that eventually we come up against life. And the question is, you know, use me as an example, us as an example. What do you do? Eventually, you can hide from it, and you think that, you know, we don't talk about it, but eventually you're going to come up, and then that you can dust that book off the shelf and open it up and go, I see what he was saying. I'm at a crossroads in my life, and what do I do when you're sitting on the edge of your bed at 2 a.m. and go, who am I? Outside of, you know, my achievements.
Yes.
Doctor, who am I?
Yeah.
Where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
How do I deal with this thing that is up on me now? And I don't have any tools.
Yeah.
How has it been? I'm gonna start with you, but I want you both to answer this question. How has it been received? Mm-hmm. Because you are Courtney B. Vance. Mm-hmm. You are high achieving, and mm-hmm. you're Harvard and Yale, and you're mm-hmm. supposed to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going out there publicly, and the book's fairly new, mm-hmm. and so you're doing the speaking tour now. Mm-hmm. Now you're going out publicly saying, mm-hmm. men, women, black men, you know, mm-hmm. I wasn't okay. Like, mm-hmm. I had things that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are people appreciative of that? Are people, because I think some of the fear mm-hmm. is, wow, I'm admitting I'm vulnerable, mm-hmm. and I'm not supposed to be. Like, I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
How do people respond to that?
Well, I know how they're going to respond to it, because I'm a people. I'm a person.
Right.
So
people.
I am people. Yes. I am human. So I know that I resonate with other mm-hmm. people. I don't resonate with all people, but I'm saying that I hurt. I had issues. And the thing that I know about, you know, us, you know, and this is not just about black boys, black men, but we start there because mm-hmm. most times we don't start or finish there. You know, we're the last people that are talked about or examined or asked, are you hurting?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I hurt in an achievement trajectory, Everybody does. Mm-hmm. You know, the place in those places is where the monies are, and that's where if money buys you, you know, all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. So I know it's not just me that was struggling there. Sometimes you're so busy achieving, you don't pay any attention to your relationship, you don't pay attention to your family. And so that's not a black thing. That's a human thing.
Yes, it is.
That resonates with me. Hmm. And that resonates, I'm sure, with other people watching. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so focused on this that I woke up one day and went, wow.
You ain't paying attention to your health. Yeah. You know, you ain't been to the hospital, and things that you can get away with in your 20s and your 30s, you can't get away in your 40s and your 50s. You cannot. And so that's what we're talking about is self-care. You don't wait until the doctor comes in and shakes his or her head going, if only you had.
Right.
Yeah. I want the doctor come in and go, yep, you're good. It, you know, we got a little thing, but we're going to work with that. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Dr. Robin, you have for years, you've been spreading this message or messages similar. You're doing it on satellite radio shows. You're doing it in best-selling books. You're doing it in radio, TV mm-hmm. for years. How important is it that people see that even, you know, the high achieving have issues? Like, does that help people recognize it's okay for me too?
Absolutely, Bill. And I can also add to when you asked how are we being received around the country. We are having lines that really almost have to be shut down because there are so many people who have bought the book, who are listening to it because it's also on audio, read by Courtney and me. People are relieved when they hear his story. People are relieved when they hear mine, because we're talking about both of us having achieved so much and both of us having an invisible ache. Mm-hmm. It's part of being human. And so it's necessary for someone like Courtney B. Vance to say to the world that he ached. And let me put it, he ached past tense, but you don't just stop aching. Our issues move with us and we move with them. And there's a statement that says, if you don't deal with your issues are going to deal with you. Mm. And so what we're inviting people to do in the invisible ache is to become the narrator, the content provider of the life they want to live. There's an African proverb that says the lion's story will never be known as long as the hunter is the one who tells it. Hmm. And so Courtney, by example, and I am doing the same thing. I am talking about tools and resources, but I'm also talking about my own vulnerability, the ways in which, you know, Dr. Robin, has known profound suffering. And if people like us can't tell the truth, not only is it a disservice to everyone else, but it means that we're ashamed. Mm-hmm. We're ashamed of our journey. We're ashamed, as you said, you know, if someone is vulnerable and they don't want to admit it, what's important about that is to recognize that that person is living in shame. Tears are our teacher. And if, as black boys and men and those who love them and everyone else in the world who right now is listening, if you think that having no rawness is a sign of strength, because you just said you're Courtney B. Vance. I mean, he's saying, yes, I am Courtney B. Vance. And as he is rising up even in that chair right now, and I'm a whole human being, I have pain and I have gain. I have joys and I have sorrow. That is such a different model than looking at someone who is airbrushed and Instagrammed and all these things that aren't real, there's something seductive and intoxicating about meeting a real, transparent human being. And that's what he is, that's what I am, and most importantly, that's what we are inviting all readers, all listeners, to partake in this excavation, elevation, and liberation into their full selfhood of being human.
You know, a lot resonated in this conversation and in the book. One of the things that stood out, and both of you sharing struggles, was with the suicide of your godson. Mm-hmm. It was made very clear that nobody did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that one of the challenges that comes up if people themselves are dealing with pain, or if families have others in the family that are dealing with pain, and God forbid something like this happens, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, what could I have done differently is a different question. But what did I do wrong? And it resonated to me, like, forgive yourself. You didn't necessarily do anything, except maybe this person needed help. Mm. Now, is that one of those messages, I guess, that needed to be heard, that it wasn't anyone's fault necessarily?
You know, and again, it's just life. You know, it happens. Sometimes we were in the car and, you know, my company manager called me and said that one of our staff is in a crisis. And, you know, it's, what do you do? What do you do when all of a sudden you've done everything right? Mm-hmm. And you've taken care of this and taken care of that, and life happens to you. And I think that's all we're saying is that, you know, get some tools. I mean, we're encouraged to, you know, tune up our car. We're encouraged to, tune up, you know, take our pets to the vet and but we don't want to tune up ourselves. We don't go to get the eyes checked, and Lord knows we, you know, as people of color, we don't have the best relationships with the hospitals. You know, we have a history of being experimented on. Mm-hmm. And so when you say go to the doctor, and then you deal with the health, you know, health insurance, and, you know, so there's a lot of reasons why you can go, I'm gonna do that later. There's so many, and we all know them. So it's not like we're talking stuff that we don't know about. We all know, you know, I'm going to have to really work to go to set up my appointments and go in and figure out my health insurance, my deductibles. And I mean, it's work. But at a certain point, I mean, what does it take for us to go, that work that it's going to take for me to take care of myself and all that that means is worth it? What is it that pushes us over that line there that makes us go, that work that I'm going to have to do to take care of myself is as much, is as beneficial to me as not doing it and waiting to see if when the other shoe's going to drop and then somebody's going to come tell me that I got something.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's the push-pullness of life for all of us, is that at a certain point, don't wait until it's now an emergency and I'm scrambling and I ain't got nobody. I got no support group. I don't know what to do. Let me just give in to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're saying, I think, is that, you know, all of us, it's a human thing that we're going to have to deal with it. Either you're going to pay us, what is that commercial from years ago? You're going to pay me now? Or you're going to pay me later.
Right, or it's going to come out in the wash, or it's coming out in the rinse, but it's coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, as Courtney was just talking about, it's life. It is important to know we could have made really great decisions as parents or partners or friends, and someone is still depressed, still full of anxiety. Twitch, who died by suicide. I mean, we don't know his story intimately, but people were shocked because he seemed like everything was good. And there are so many men and boys who are being told to say, I'm good. That's part of what the formula has been, the conditioning has been. to deny your whole self. And so Courtney just said, not only is it life, like things happen. And sometimes, Bill, also, we did make a poor decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also part of life. Like, if I knew what I knew now, I would have done something different. But I didn't know. I didn't know to say to my son, you know, when my daughter cries, I ask her what's happening and do you want to talk about it? When my son cries, I say, stop that. I mean, come on, grow up. Man up. Like, what is that? That's an attack. I mean, no, but really.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? That's an attack on that person's humanity. When you tell someone to man up, you are attacking the very part that many women say they're trying to elicit from a man. And then when it shows up, they want to condemn it right. And shame it. And
so some dirt on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, so part of when Courtney is saying we can neglect ourselves in this area, but we do all the work in the other areas, that it will catch up with us, all of us, if we ignore our pain. And also if you cap your pain, you also cap your joy. People don't know that. I mean, our emotions, you know this as an actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you can decide you're going to really lean into the humor of something, but I'm going to stay away from the sorrow. Your acting would not be what it is if you were not able, because it's all one pot called humanity, called feelings. The other thing that Courtney brings up that I just want to highlight is that push-pull of worthiness. I mean, am I worthy is what he's saying for something more, or is suffering just the way it's going to be? And I tell people when they say it's just too much work to find a therapist, to find, you know, I don't have insurance. So the list of things, all of which may be true, but they become an excuse for self-neglect. And what is interesting is that we know how to suffer so well. We don't know how to be free. And so the invisible ache is a proclamation and a declaration and a decision and commitment to people who are going to grow themselves up emotionally, going to grow themselves up and say, like, things happen and life falls apart. But I don't have to let that be how this story ends for me.
It's so funny. It's so funny that, you know, I'm a voracious reader and, you know, reading, you know, I love biographies, big biographies, so I can see how people did it. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, I just finished reading the biography of Golda Meir, and I knew nothing about her, but to see the amount of meetings and, you know, and just struggle, you know, that in her life, you know, physically with ailments and things, but just with being a woman and a man, male-dominated society back in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, and that she kept pushing.
Yeah.
You know, when things looked bad, she just, you know, I listened to my military advisors, and I should have gone with what I know in my spirit was the right thing to do, and the people coming at her and talking about her, and she just kept putting one foot in front of the other, and before you know it, that the sun came out again, and all of a sudden she's I just loved her. She's a great leader. But a minute ago she was a pariah, and you can't don't. I mean, that's the message.
Right? Yes,
you don't give up. Mm-hmm. You don't know what tomorrow, you know, and she's involved in wars, countries with war, and her military, you know, she ain't never been to war, but she's telling the military advisors, keep going. And, you know, so it's inspirational to me, and it gives me, I mean, that's another thing. Is it, what do you do while you're waiting for things to turn around? What do you, and finding these positive things to do for yourself, so that your time is good. You're going to look up. You got to find things to do. So when you look up, and all of a sudden you're in a different place, and I'm in the sunshine. I've been so focused on taking care of. I've been doing this and doing that and doing my walks and doing my eating. And all of a sudden, I didn't drop. How did that? When did that? Yeah. And so you don't know until somebody else tells you. Man, you look, girl, what you been doing with yourself? Yeah. I didn't know you didn't look. I've just been living.
Well, you've been living and practicing self-care. You've been living and practicing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really talking about. Self-care is radical. Mm-hmm. It's radical for a man. Mm-hmm. And I mean, massages and all those things are great, but we're not talking only about that. We're talking, and I love what you're saying about time, because time's going to pass no matter what.
Right.
So I can either look up and find myself that I am in that same place of misery that I'm attached to, because I keep repeating it. Or I can look up and find that my whole life, internal, because we're talking about breaking shackles on the inside, on our minds, the way in which there are lies that we've attached to in our heads about who we are or who we're not, that as we dismantle that and we replace it with new information, over time, that becomes what is real. And we look up and we realize that we have entered into, by hard work and commitment, not by perfection. This isn't about perfection. This is about repetition and practice.
I told you when we started that we were going to look up 1 minute and go, we've been talking for 40 minutes.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody.
We've got to that point.
We're there.
I want to encourage everybody to pick up the book, but also just people who have watched and listened, I encourage you to try to get to one of the book signings, one of the conversations that you two continue to tour, because I think that people could see that effortlessly there is a lot to talk about. There is a lot to unpack. There's a lot of things that we could all use some guidance or assistance in. There is a lot that an open, comforting conversation among friends who are all sitting there because of the book can be beneficial to all of us.
Yes.
It's so funny you say that, but we're going to talk for another 15, 20 minutes.
Look,
it's so funny
you
say that.
We got the time.
It's 6 in the morning, and the young lady's putting powder on my face. I'm completely exhausted. And we start talking about this world and, she's got a youngster and, there's so much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And people said someone asked us the other day, last night, when does the healing? Is the healing from the writing of the book? Is the healing from the talking of the book? I said, baby, the healing is in living.
Yeah.
We last night we checked in the hotel.
Yes.
We're so exhausted. We've been driving for 2 hours. And the lady, Miss Gilda, she went on to go. To go to bed. She said, bye, y'all, and go to bed. And we're standing at the desk, and we're asking a couple more questions to this young lady. And all of a sudden, we're in a deep conversation with this young lady about her. COVID happened, and she got laid off.
Yes.
But she got more time with her babies. And she just had a baby and other kiddos.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we're like, girl, thank you for that
ministry. Wait a minute. And then she said, what I thought was not going to work out for me was God's highest plan for my life.
I asked you early on whether or not how this is being received and are people responding. Yeah. And this conversation and the ones that you're sharing are the answer. It seems like people really were looking for the opportunity to talk or looking for the opportunity to say, I got some things I need to get off my chest.
Right.
Can we share this?
Yes.
So I thank you for opening that conversation, for allowing it to be comfortable. That's good. I think it's going to help a lot of us. It certainly helped me, and I appreciate both of you.
Thank you. And I just have to say this. And when the conversation is uncomfortable, that we create a safe space to be uncomfortable in. because growing, maturing doesn't always feel comfortable. So sometimes when we're looking to be comfortable, that's where we're going to have time pass and there's not going to be any growth. But if we have safety and we can bring our discomfort, which is what people are doing with these courageous conversations, you know, these venues, they can bring their discomfort in this safe space, and we can bring our discomfort in this safe space, and we can also bring our joy in this safe space and do it together in community.
And a lot of times these difficult quote unquote conversations in our minds are much more difficult than they actually end up being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from practice.
So true.
Right?
From practice. So true.
I just said, I gotta go have a conversation with somebody. And, you know, my wife goes, oh man, it's gonna be so, you know, are you gonna be okay, Court? I said, well, you know, I mean, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. I always try to talk, you know, start with the positive, and, you know, and then it always ends up being
always
less drama than I.
Yes.
And if it is drama,
handle
it's gotta happen.
Right.
It's just gotta
right.
happen.
It's a part.
You know, we're gonna sometimes the only way through something is straight ahead.
Yeah.
You can't go around it.
I understand why y'all did this book together.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I get it.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. You live in Philly, so come back anytime.
Thank you.
You want to.
Thank you.
When you are here.
Oh, no, he wants you to come back. Of course. No.
You're not in Philly. I was just about to say, anytime you're in Philly, you got a home at the Pulse. We're getting ready to, we got the Wall of Fame. We put your name on the seat if you want.
No, but we're going to be.
You're going on the Wall of Fame as soon as we finish
this.
That means I got to come back more often.
Yes.
I don't come to Philly.
We were just talking about that, but I wasn't in his life then.
Yeah.
But see, now you got a good reason.
Oh, he does.
And we're cool now.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got two good reasons to come to Philly.
See, and I can get on the Acela from
New York
and just.
And you can be here in an hour.
Ooh,
an hour and 3 minutes.
I'll mess around. I'll start promoting it. Like next week on the Pulse.
The Acela.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Dr. Robin Smith and actor Courtney B. Vance. And on a very important, very specific topic, I appreciate them sharing so much insight. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. I just think it was a discussion that needed to be had, and hopefully helping us on what can be a difficult journey to awareness, to understanding, to belief in self, to healing. The book is available, and check it out. You can always watch the episodes if you're in Philadelphia on Fox 29 or on Fox Soul. And I want to encourage you to download the Fox Local app. That's for Roku, for Apple TV, for all of your connected TVs. We now have an app. Just search Fox Local and you will find Fox 29, Philadelphia. You'll figure it out, but you'll have all of our shows right there at your fingertips. You can always hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29 and find episodes on YouTube. We're pretty much everywhere. We appreciate you listening, and I leave you as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.